بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from the kitab إصلاح العقائد, Correction of Beliefs. Today we discuss the topic of major sins. Sins do not destroy a person's iman, but they continuously weaken the luster of iman, making it fragile. It then becomes easy for shaitan to attack a person, and even at times to let him fall into disbelief. Therefore, one should stay away from every sin. If one errs, then he should immediately resort to repentance. There are two types of sins, major and minor. Tawbah is necessary for the forgiveness of major sins. Tawbah means that a person should feel ashamed of his action, repent, and make a firm intention not to repeat the action. If another person's rights are infringed, then these rights should be fulfilled. If salat, fasting, etc. were left out, they should be made up by qadha. Minor sins are forgiven through the blessings of righteous deeds. Some of the major sins are, and we're going to read a long list of examples of major sins. We will read a few today. So examples of major sins. Number one, to reject taqdeer, that is predestination. Not to fear Allah Ta'ala, or to lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. To recite incantations contrary to the Sharia, such words which are contrary to what Sharia has taught us. To verify what an astrologer or fortune teller says. To discard any farz or wajib action when one is able. For example, salat, zakat, hajj, fasting and qurbani. To do acts of worship for show. To boast of one's piety or ibadah. To be careless with urine drops on one's body or clothes. To miss Jummah Salat. To miss Salat with Jamaat for males without a valid excuse. To delay Salat until the time goes out. To kill someone unjustly. To kill one's children. To abort a child after the soul has been placed in it is also included in killing children. To commit suicide. To cause harm or to disobey one's parents in permissible actions. To sever family ties for worldly reasons. To commit adultery, fornication, incest, or anal sex. To get involved in acts of homosexuality and lesbianism. To have relations with one's wife during her menses. To have no self-honor over one's spouse. To sit in seclusion with ghair mahram women, those with whom the observance of hijab is necessary. To appear before one's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, cousins or any other strangers, etc. without any parda. To look with an evil intention at women folk, and even worse, one's neighbor. To enter someone's house without permission. To fulfill one's carnal desires with animals. To expose one's sitter. The sitter of a man is from the navel to the knee, and the entire body of a female is sitter, except her palms, face, and feet. When emerging in front of strange men, a woman's face must be concealed as well. To wear such transparent clothing that the color of the skin can be seen, or to wear such tight clothing that the shape of the body can be seen. To embrace or shake hands with ghair mahrams, those with whom hijab is necessary, and even family members with lust. To adopt the dress of the opposite sex. To falsely accuse a woman of adultery. To regard the second marriage of a woman as a blemish despite there being a need for it. To give false testimony or to conceal evidence. To speak lies, especially to take false oaths by which the life, wealth, in honor of another is taken. And to take an oath by the name of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will continue with the examples of major sins. Last night in Taraweeh, we heard the recitation of the 27th para, but we will continue from where we stopped yesterday, from Suratul Hujurat, which occurs towards the third quarter of the 26th para. The word Hujurat means rooms. Since an ayat in the surah refers to those villagers and Bedouins who, because they were not aware of the etiquette which they have to observe, particularly with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they came to Medina with the intention of seeing to their need by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his private quarters, and from outside they started calling out to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was against the etiquette. They were actually not respecting the privacy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people who do so are such people who don't have understanding. They lack the understanding and they don't realize the great honor and respect which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be shown. And this is against that etiquette. For that reason, the surah is called Suratul Hujurat. In the surah, subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many forms of akhlaq and adab which have to be observed, which are connected to one's good manners, good character, and also social interaction. Particularly also the etiquettes which have to be observed in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are also mentioned in the surah. O people of Iman, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. That don't proceed ahead of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this is meant that in any matter, don't voice your opinion or your decision without first verifying what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned or had decided in that matter. From your own side, don't just voice your opinion or make a decision in a matter without first referring to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first etiquette mentioned here. And the second one is that don't raise your voice above that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a way where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's voice remains subdued because of your loud voice. That is against etiquette. And the third point mentioned here, third etiquette, that وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. That don't call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a loud voice. Don't speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a loud voice. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. As you speak loudly to one another. This is also against the etiquette and respect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama explain, it comes in the kitabs also, tafsir kitabs, that these types of etiquettes also apply to those who are the heirs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mashayikh, the ulama, haq, etc. Those who are our spiritual guides, who are now guiding us in the path of deen. These etiquettes should also be observed, with them also. And Allah Ta'ala says that those who don't observe these etiquettes, it is likely that their actions can be nullified. What actions they might have did also, they will become worthless in the court of Allah Ta'ala, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, and you don't even realize that. So we should be very careful when it comes to observing the adab and etiquettes. As we heard so many times from our mashayikh, our Hazrat also has informed us, that bear it be, sometimes the consequences and effects of it are even worse than sinning. Sometimes the sinning, that effect is not so bad. How bear it be could now make a person now, the consequences could be very bad. So a person should be very careful in this regard. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of some social etiquette, that news have to reach you through unreliable sources, through a sinner or person who is not reliable, then make sure you first verify that news before you take any action. Because perhaps if you take any action, it might cause some people harm out of your ignorance. And then you will then regret your actions. And what you did, you will regret it if that now rumor or that gossip, which now you just took it at face value without verifying, and you act on it, it could have bad consequences. So first verify news, especially in today's times where it is so common through the different ways, or that gossip and rumor mongering. And don't just take it at face value and act on it. No, first verify. Five. Without that, a person then could then regret later on. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention concerning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some of their, Allah ta'ala praises them. Allah ta'ala says that, know well that amongst you, O Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is the Rasul of Allah. If the Rasul of Allah has to obey you in many of the things, in other words, do as you want him to do, la'anittum, you will fall into great difficulty. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah ta'ala has made iman beloved to you and has beautified it for you in your heart and made kufr and sinning and disobedience, Allah ta'ala has made it abhor to you. In other words, you regard this to be very detestable. So these are the qualities which Allah ta'ala mentions concerning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So according to that, don't wish and want that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam must do as you want to do. Allah, if that happens, then you could fall into great difficulty. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the mu'mineen. If two parties are at loggerheads with one another, there is some dispute between them, how they must be reconciled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, and the transgressing party, then if they don't refuse to now submit to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can even fight against them. But once they now submit and to the order of Allah ta'ala, then with complete justice, make sure that you reconcile between the now disputing parties. Why? Because innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Because all mu'mineen are like brothers to one another. Therefore, in times of dispute, don't let them continue, don't let them fight with one another, but reconcile between them. Thereafter, in the second ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many social ills and evils that if they are not kept in check, then it will create great problems for society at large. And it will create a lot of hatred and enmity and dispute amongst the people of the society. Six things have been mentioned here that Allah Ta'ala tells the mu'mineen. Make sure you don't get involved in all of these. So the first one, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. Don't mock at one another. Regarding yourself to be superior and them inferior. Why? Because perhaps those who you are mocking at, perhaps they are better than you and you don't even realize it. That they are better than you, then therefore now don't mock at one another. It will just breed enmity and hatred and lead to many other evils like backbiting and slandering and all those things. So don't get involved in that. The second point mentioned here, that don't engage in fault finding. Don't look for the faults of others. The term Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't find fault with yourselves. It means don't find fault in others, because those faults are probably in you also. So don't now, don't engage in fault finding. This also will cause great problems in society. The third order is that don't call people by such names which is derogatory and insulting and offensive to them. Because this also will now breed hatred and enmity. The fourth point mentioned here, that abstain from excessive suspicion. Because suspicion, Allah says, many a time is just suspicion and it is based on sin and and thought that somebody is now got an evil without you now verifying whether now that person has got any evil in him or not. In the hadith it comes, inna akzabul hadith, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that suspicion is one of the worst form of lies. And the next order, Allah Ta'ala says, wala tajassasu, don't spy on one another. Don't try to get into the secrets of one another by spying on them. This will also create a lot of mistrust and disunity and hatred amongst people. And the last order here is that don't backbite of one another. And it's such an evil, Allah Ta'ala says. It is like eating the dead, the flesh of your dead brother. Who likes to do that? So backbiting is like that. So these are such social evils, if they are not kept, in check and contained and eradicated, this will create a lot of problems amongst the people of society. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that all of you have been created from one male and female, Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, and Allah has made you into families and tribes so that you recognize one another. So to be from different tribes, to be from different nations, is in no way can anyone claim to have some superiority over another. Okay. In Islam, the basis of superiority is not on race, on color, on creed, on nationality, or on language. But the basis of superiority in the court of Allah Ta'ala is the level of taqwa within yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, the most honored amongst you by Allah Ta'ala is the one who has the highest level of taqwa. So these things are not the basis of now superiority amongst mankind. Instead, it is what quality of taqwa a person has amongst in him. That will be the basis of superiority. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the villagers and the Bedouins who profess to have iman, but in reality, real true iman hasn't become entrenched in their hearts as yet. Allah Ta'ala tells them tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, don't say you have brought iman. Say you have become Muslims, and as yet iman in a true sense hasn't entered your heart. So mere lip service concerning a person's now being a mu'min is not sufficient until the reality of iman becomes entrenched in a person's heart. So these were the few many guidelines mentioned in the surah. The next surah, Suratul Qaf, is a Makki surah. Here the fundamentals of deen have been mentioned, particularly concerning the hereafter, Jannat, Jahannam, reckoning and punishment and reward. All those things are mentioned here. For this reason, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite the surah or verses of the surah, Surah Qaf, excessively in the khutbahs of Jummah and Eidain. To the extent that some Sahaba radiallahu anhu say that we learned Surah Qaf just by listening to the khutbahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So often Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the verses of Surah Qaf in the khutbahs. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions His great creative powers through which we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also concerning the disbelieving nations, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Allah ta'ala reminds us that we have created insan and we know the whispers of his heart also, what thoughts also go through his heart, the most secret of things in his heart, we are aware of it. And Allah Ta'ala says we are closer to man, even closer than his jugular vein. Allah Ta'ala knows well everything concerning us, and reminds us, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, that everything which we now do and say, and whatever now what is in your heart, the angels are there, ready to record whatever you speak. Therefore everything is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the agonies of death will arrive with the truth, and then a person who was true on iman and who wasn't will become manifest. All that is also mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the bounties of Jannat also. Allah ta'ala says that for people of Jannat will be for what they desire, waladayna mazid, and from our side there will be extra also. The ultimate and greatest bounty of Jannat will be the opportunity for the Jannatis to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So waladayna mazid refers to that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the remainder of the surah again mentions that all these nations which we had destroyed before, they were much stronger than you, than these people of Makkah who are refusing to accept the message of Haqq. How Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. So take a lesson from there. So these things are mentioned here. And then the next surah, Surah Al-Zariyat, also a Makki surah. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the winds with the different the different reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the winds to blow. And then Allah Ta'ala gives the answer of the qasam, that retribution on the day of Qiyamah is a reality. Each person will be retributed according to the actions he did in this world. So that is mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the qualities of the muttaqeen, and for whom Allah Ta'ala had kept the bounties of Jannat. One particular attribute which Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the muttaqeen, that they are such that they sleep little at night. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. They engage more in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the early hours of the morning, هم يستغفرون. They are seeking pardon and forgiveness from Allah ta'ala, despite engaging in so much ibadah. But they know they cannot fulfill the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And they ask forgiveness from Allah ta'ala. And in their wealth, they realize a right for the beggars and also those who don't beg, but they are in severe need. But because to maintain their dignity, they don't ask around, but they look for such people also and spend their wealth on them. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that in all what you see around you, the earth, and in yourself also, there are signs of our great Qudrat. Ponder over the earth, how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created the earth. Earth, although global outwardly it is global, but how Allah Ta'ala has made it flat for the people to reside on it. How Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the water, the dams, the oceans, the minerals in the earth, everything what we see concerning the earth. There are signs of the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, and in yourself also. Yourself, you are Alam-e-Azghar. In other words, the whole universe and the functioning of it. If yourself is a manifestation of the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala has created so intricately the limbs of the body, how they have been created, the internal systems, whether it is a digestive system, respiratory system, anything which we can now think of. Moment one thing goes off a little, a person is ill, and now he's suffering. So this is the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala invites us to ponder over one's own creation, and you will realize the great Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some of the incidents of the past, how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the guest came to him, angels came to him in the form of humans as guests. Ibrahim alayhi salam initially didn't recognize them to be angels, prepared food for them, they did not eat. Ibrahim alayhi salam became fearful, and then they revealed that no, we are actually angels, with two reasons we have come, to give you the glad tidings of a son to be born to you, Ishaq alayhi salam, despite your old age and your wife being also of advanced age, and then the other reason that we have come now to destroy the nation of Lut alayhi salam. That incident is mentioned here, together with the other nations, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. And in the last ruku of this verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created everything in pairs. Here pairs means not only of the living things, male and female, but in everything Allah Ta'ala created opposites. Whether it's now cold and hot, whether it's now sweet and bitter, whether it's now in any way contrast, we've created everything in contrast and opposites, so that you take heed of the great powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fafirru ilallah. Hasten towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasten from the disobedience to the obedience of Allah ta'ala. Hasten from the state of negligence to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasten from kufr and shirk to the tawheed and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then reminds us the object of our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That our creating the insan and jinnat is so that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and true worship without the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not possible. That's why the mufassirin liya'budun, they say, means liya'rifun, so that you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly and in the true sense of the word. Allah ta'ala also says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Keep on reminding, because the reminder is beneficial for the mu'mineen. Further on in Surah At-Tur, here also Allah Ta'ala, also Makki Surah, the fundamentals of deen, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of various things, of the Mount Tur, where Musa alayhi salam was called, and Allah Ta'ala granted him nubuwwat and spoke to Musa alayhi salam directly. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the book of the Lohe Mahfuz, and also of the book of records of each person, which will be laid bare on the day of Qiyamah for each one to see for himself. Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of Baytul Ma'mur, that is the Kaaba of the heavens. Directly above the Kaaba of the world, there is Baytul Ma'mur, where the angels now make tawaf around it. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the sky, and also the ocean. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi', that the punishment of your Rabb is a reality. In other words, if you don't accede to the message of Haqq, then remember that the time will come, either sometimes in this world already, but definitely that Allah Ta'ala's punishment is a reality, and there's nobody who can avert and turn away the punishment from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention again of His many bounties, particularly for the muttaqeen in Jannat, what bounties Allah Ta'ala had made, had kept for them. One of them mentioned here, Allah Ta'ala says that those people of Iman and their progeny which followed them in Iman, we will join up their progeny with them in Jannat, and without any rewards of their actions being decreased in the least bit. Here it comes in the hadith also, a person when Allah Ta'ala will enter him into Jannat, but he will be of a higher rank and stage of Jannat, and he will not see his family members there, but they have been of Iman and are in Jannat, but in a lower category. He will now desire that he must be joined up with his family. Who doesn't want his family around him? In the world also, and in Jannat also, a person will desire that Allah Ta'ala will elevate the ranks of his progeny, his family, not demote him, but promote the family members, so that the desire of the Jannati will now be fulfilled, and he can have his family around him on the higher rank of Jannat. From this we understand a person's piety and righteousness will also benefit his progeny and children in the year after. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of the false allegations and absurd objections of the mushrikeen, what they used to say and how they used to deny the resurrection and life after that, and the answers to that are mentioned also in the surah. The next surah, Surah An-Najm, is also a Makki surah. In the surah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala commences by taking a qasam of the stars when they set, and then Allah Ta'ala says that your companion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not astray, and he hasn't deviated from the path of Haqq. He is a Nabi, and he doesn't speak from his own whims and desire. Whatever he says is actually revelation which has come to you. So from this we understand that whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam transmitted to us, one is the Quran Majeed, the exact words of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but even the ahadith are also a type of wahi and inspiration from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conveyed to us. Ya Allah Ta'ala says clearly, whatever he spoke, he never spoke from his own desire. It was wahi which we had revealed to him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then transmitted it to us. The incident concerning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seeing Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form is also mentioned here in the first few verses. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only saw Jibreel alayhi salam twice in his original form. Otherwise, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not in his original form. He used to come in human form, but his original form only twice Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen. One was in Makkah, and the other one was at the occasion of Mi'raj. Both are mentioned here that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen him, Jibreel alayhi salam, in his original form, bil ufuq al ala, on the highest horizon of Makkah Sharif. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen him in his original form with his 600 wings, and such which now covered the east and the west. And it is mentioned, Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had given him such powers that just with one wing, he completely destroyed the nation of Lut alayhi salam by lifting their whole area where they lived with the one wing, and then smashed them down onto the earth again. So imagine 600 wings of Jibreel alayhi salam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even fell unconscious when he seen Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form at that time. And the other time was at the incident of Mi'raj in the Sidratil Muntaha. That position and that place in the heavens, Allah knows best about it, that no creation besides Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever traversed and passed that point. In the incident of Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salam accompanied Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but at Sidratul Muntaha told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "I am not permitted to now proceed any further. You have to now go alone." And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and then the incident of the five salat being made obligatory, etc., were all at that time. So this was the second occasion which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen Jibreel Alayhi Salam in his original form. Besides that, in the rest of the surah also, all the absurd and false claims of the mushrikeen with regard to many aspects of deen are mentioned here, together with the answers to those questions. One point mentioned here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to Allah belongs everything in the skies and the earth. So that Allah ta'ala can retribute those people who did evil for their evil, and also reward those who did good with the best good, that is Jannah. The point mentioned is that after that Allah ta'ala mentions the mu'mineen, those who will be entering into Jannah. One of their qualities is that الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كُنَكُنَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Those who abstain from the major sins and all acts of indecency, except for that which now occurred, which happened, in other words, what we call minor sins, from which nobody is pure from there besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of some human nature and need, sometimes we fall into sin. But besides that, they abstain from all major sins. And if a person commits any major sin, then he should immediately repent. Gee, the point of Mufassirin explain here, that Allah Ta'ala describes the mu'mineen, who are the true mu'mineen, that they abstain from all types of evil. So abstention from evil itself is a virtue, which now our Hazrat also explains to us so many times. One is to do acts of ibadah, and one is to abstain and keep oneself away from all types of sin. This itself is a virtue. In other words, for example, performing salat, etc., we all know it's an act of ibadah. But now, to keep yourself away from sin, for example, casting of evil glances, lustful glances, and see that which we are not supposed to see, a person keeps himself away from there. That also itself will constitute a reward and a virtue by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when we make intention of dud, we should also make intention of staying away from evil. And every morning, Hazrat explains to us that we should make the intention that today I'm not going to now look where I'm not supposed to look. I'm not going to do this evil. I'm not going to do that evil. And a person now accordingly doesn't do that, that's an independent reward. So, very important that we should, abstention from sin itself is regarded to be a virtue. But Allah Ta'ala then mentions, Allah Ta'ala knows you when He created you from the earth, and when you were for fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. Therefore, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't attribute purity to yourselves. Allah Ta'ala knows best who is the most righteous and who has the most taqwa within himself. So no person should now regard and attribute purity and piety to himself, that I am good, that I have now got this good quality. No, Allah Ta'ala knows well the quality of taqwa in whose heart it is the best. And the quality of taqwa is an internal quality, an inward quality. Only Allah Ta'ala knows best who has what level of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala grant us this taqwa and not just let it be a show of taqwa from our side. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah, Suratul Qamar, is a Makki surah. Qamar means moon, referring to the great miracle which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated to these people who were insisting on being shown a miracle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed with his finger to the moon and it split into two. All those who were present there, they seen clearly one half of the moon on one side and the other half of the moon on the other side. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that in the first verses. But Allah Ta'ala says these people, despite witnessing this great miracle, yet they turn away from it and from it and from it, and they just regard it to be magic and something now which now is not a reality. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that. They still, whatever they see, they will refuse to accept. Why? Because they have already decided we are not going to accept the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under any circumstances. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the plight of the previous nations, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. And in few intervals, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُرِ. See how my punishment was, and how my warnings was. And Allah Ta'ala then mentions, we have made the Qur'an Majid easy to take a lesson from. So is there anybody who will take heed and take a lesson from there? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Qur'an Majid easy for understanding. Some ulama explain, lizikri refers to recitation and memorizing also. That Allah Ta'ala has made it easy. Such a voluminous book, the Kitabullah, but we find small children not understanding a word of Arabic itself. But Allah Ta'ala makes it easy that in a duration of just a little while, maybe 2 years, 3 years, whatever, but they completely memorize the Qur'an Majid. This itself is a great miracle of the Qur'an Majid, and Allah Ta'ala himself had said, we had made the Qur'an Majid easy for that. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then In the next surah, Surah Al-Rahman, a Madani surah, Ya Allah Ta'ala enumerates His great bounties, worldly as well as bounties connected to the year after. And Allah Ta'ala 31 times mentions in the surah the ayat, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, that, insan and jinnat, which bounties of your Rabb will you continue denying? In other words, so many bounties we have blessed you with, and till when are you going to keep on denying these bounties? Allah Ta'ala starts with Ar-Rahman, referring and indicating the fact that all the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala are all the effect of the quality of Rahman of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is most kind and most merciful. And then Allah Ta'ala first mentions the ultimate and greatest bounty, that Allah Ta'ala 'allama al-Qur'an, has taught you the Qur'an Majid. He has created an insan and taught him how to speak, how to make manifest his inner thoughts and feelings of the heart. Animals also have feelings in it, but they can't manifest through speaking. Only insan, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, has blessed them with this great bounty. In these verses, many verses are also connected to Jahannam, concerning Jahannam and the punishments of Jahannam. Here a question could come, what bounty is there in Jahannam? That Allah Ta'ala says, even after those ayats, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the ulama explain that when there is danger, where there is now some evil and wrong, then if you are warned from beforehand concerning that, itself is a bounty. If you are told that on this road, don't take this road, there are hijackers on this road, said that you will be so thankful to the person, thanks for now telling me, if or else I would have fallen into great problems. So itself, it is a bounty. Death is also being mentioned here. Everything is to perish on the surface of the earth. And death is that point where for a mu'min, it is a place of meeting with his Rabb, which itself is a bounty. So all these now Allah Ta'ala has enumerated, and the surah has been called Urusul Qur'an, the bride of the Qur'an Majid. In other words, the beauty, a qari who recites correctly and properly, and these verses 31 times are now repeated at different intervals, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Even if a person doesn't understand what are the contents of the surah, but he will realize the great beauty which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has placed in the verses of the surah. The next surah, Surah Al-Waqiyah, also concerning, mostly mention is made concerning Qiyamah and the three groups which people will be on the day of Qiyamah. Either the people will be from the Sabiqoon, the forerunners, those who did good and excelled in their field, pleasing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in doing righteous deeds, then Ashabul Yameen and Ashabul Shimal, the people of the right and the people of the left. And each one, what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has kept in store for them is mentioned here. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of His great creative powers also, that people must ponder that you are initially a drop of sperm, how Allah Ta'ala created you. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of your plantations, what Allah Ta'ala makes things grow from the earth for your benefit, concerning water which Allah Ta'ala sends down, and even fire, Allah Ta'ala makes mentioning of it as a bounty. Without fire and heat, we all know, cooking of the food and getting warmth in the cold, etc., is not possible. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of all these, and in the last ruku of this, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the great position and honor of the Qur'an and Majid. It is such a Qur'an and Majid that only those who are in a state of complete purity can now touch it. That's why the masla is, we cannot touch the Qur'an and Majid, we can read it without wudu, but touching of the Qur'an and Majid without wudu is not permitted. And on that surah ends, and Suratul Hadid, inshallah, the last surah of this para, we will do it tomorrow, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قال عبد لا إله إلا الله قط مخلصا إلا فتحت له أبواب السماء حتى يفضي إلى العرش ما اجتنب الكبائر رواه الترمذي. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ کوئی بندہ ایسا نہیں کہ لا الہ الا اللہ کہے اور اس کے لیے آسمانوں کے دروازے نہ کھل جائے یہاں تک کہ یہ کلمہ سیدھا عرش تک پہنچتا ہے بشرطے کہ کبیرہ گناہوں سے بچتا رہے. ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ نریس from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no slave recites La ilaha illallah with sincerity except that the doors of the heavens open up for it until it reaches the arsh, throne of Allah jalla jalaluhu, provided he abstains from major sins.